Not talking about that shit for free.
Well, you're not getting paid, but you are being recorded.
Okay, fantastic.
Wait, we're not getting paid?
Ko-fi.com/thepolarbear. Whatever it's called.
I'm just doing this for the fucking money. You tell me now we're not getting paid?
No, sorry.
We have viewers in the tens. Why are we not getting paid for this?
I don't know.
Bullshit.
Be nice to break 50.
We occasionally break 50. Yeah. We got up to like 70, yeah.
We got up to 70, is it?
70 whole people give a shit about this, which is...
This is... What's wrong with
bizarre.
You?
I mean, probably ghosty about 18 times. But...
Yeah. We probably all count once as well, you know?
See, the thing is, what I think the views on the videos like long ago still rack up numbers.
Yeah, which you don't get on... I mean, you know, to some extent, I think... PeerTube is more geared to that than YouTube, with not having an algorithm, like people can just stumble upon it, and I like that. Things like this should, or things like that, shouldn't just exist for, you know, a 2-week span or whatever, and then be forgotten.
Yeah, well, I've got videos on YouTube that have like are basically near about 500,000 views. They do not get really any views these days.
And it's not real engagement, most of it. That's the problem.
It's not. I suspect YouTube juiced the numbers.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's in there. It's so much in their interests to do so. But, yeah,
I think all of them do to a point because it makes it makes people feel like, oh, I get more exposure on this platform over this platform.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's pretty deceptive what counts as a view.
I mean, to be fair, it's a hard question. Like in a video that's 4 hours long, what counts as a view is a difficult question to answer in a way that makes sense across the board. But yeah.
Thank you for being a view right now.
Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for making me famous. PeerTube famous. No, I genuinely...
That's my favourite kind of famous.
Yeah, like, I want, like, the reason I feel genuinely compelled to be here is because we're not just clocking in numbers for a big company the other side of the planet.
Yeah, we're not making money for anybody else. That's the good thing about it. Because that's the other thing you've got to remember about these big platforms is that, you know, you're doing stuff for somebody else, you know, for free.
Yeah.
And they're making money.
We're obviously nowhere near that yet. But, you know, imagine a future where, for some reason, like, things go to shit and, like, tech billionaires end up, like, aligning themselves with, like, fascist regimes and stuff.
That's a bit far-fetched,
but you never know.
Do you want to be making money for those kinds of people? I know, like, we're nowhere near there. I mean, let's be reasonable, but...
No. Yeah, certainly the mainstream press wouldn't tell you that. No, it's two.
You need thousands of odd salutes for it to count like that. This is only really of the one odd salute.
Odd gesture.
Odd gesture. But, like, I like the idea of... Like, I like the idea that there's like, a cause in my life that I care about almost like just from the heart, like it's directly from the heart, right?
Yeah.
And it is the Fediverse because it's like I want to be, this sounds so over grandiose, but like I kind of want to be one of the trailblazers of this new culture. Like
I think it's gonna I think especially given the political climate and you know, what do you want to call it, you know, developed countries like the US and the UK and stuff. I think this kind of stuff is going to be quite important for people.
Yeah.
So I think it's always been important. Yeah. It's always been that important, but this is making it, there's a word for like how important, like it very, very clear how important it is now. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Galvanizing.
Yeah, like it's been important.
Yeah, it's a good word.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good word. Galvanized. Is it galvanized rubber or something? Is that what they make tires out of?
No, that's vulcanized.
Oh, vulcanized rubber. Oh,
galvanized is when you put one metal in another metal to make it cooler. Like if you take bronze and put tin in it, you make brass, and brass is... No, you make bronze. Bronze/brass. What's classified as bronze has changed over time, but I'm going to go with bronze because it's cooler.
Oh, that's very interesting.
This is not a metallurgic podcast.
No, wait, that's not galvanized. That's alloyed. What's galvanized? Galvanized is when you coat a metal, isn't it?
Like, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. So well, I'm sure one of those facts was correct.
or none.
If you jumble them around, you get something vaguely true.
Mm. Yeah, but I like, and also, like, I mean, obviously the Fediverse isn't perfect. We have our dramas and our politics and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it kind of, to me, is like the belt of the internet. It is pretty,
if we have conflict and drama, it's unmediated conflict and drama. It's humans having disagreements or whatever with other humans. It's not mediated through a company and their PR and their...
Yeah, and it's not, it's also not, you know, nobody, there's nobody fanning the flames for views or whatever. Well, there's probably a few people that just get off on that personally, but there's no company.
I mean, you get that everywhere, don't you? You
know, I mean, we don't need anyone fanning us to have a bit of conflict. It comes quite organic.
Because you're a dick. That's why. No, wait, you're right, though. You're right there. We don't need any help.
But no, yeah, like, I don't know. This place feels like internet home in a way that, like, YouTube always felt like a, like, it's basically, to me, in my mind, it's like the difference between renting a property and owning a property.
Or
in this case, living in Hamish's owned property.
Well, it's working for a company versus starting your own business.
You're
laboring for yourself, not for somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Or I suppose the viewer.
Yes, we love.
We're
you,
doing
viewer.
It for you. We love you.
For you, yeah.
What is it?
And I mean, the email is above to let us know who's your favourite.
Oh yeah, we could do an end of year poll or an.
I'd love to, because when I listen to a podcast, there's like the one I love, and like every time that person talks, I love it. There's the ones I don't care about, and there's the one where every time they talk, I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. And I'd love to know which one I am.
Well, you're the loved one, and I'm the shut the fuck up one.
No, I suspect it would be the other way around.
See, I think it's...
I want to be one of those two. I don't care which of those I am.
You're the best or the worst. You don't want to be in the middle.
Yeah.
Don't want to be mediocre.
That's an Oscar Wilde thing, isn't it? The worst thing about... The worst thing... The only one thing worse than being talked about is
not being talked about.
I think one of the reasons why this thing has kind of got a weird magic to it is because it's different for different people. We know that there's going to be... Did you print out a picture of Drew?
Oh, you weren't there for that,
were
you?
You weren't there last night, were you?
Yeah. This was the thing that happened, yes.
I didn't realise people printed out stuff.
That was the most shocking part to me, having an actual fucking printer.
Yeah, I got a big fancy printer from when I had my business.
A 2D printer?
A 2D one, yeah. I've got a 3D...
The best kind of printer.
A 3D extractive printer, sort of. Because I've got a routing machine, you know, a CNC machine.
Do you have a 3D printed, like, save file?
3D printed.
You mean the icon?
Yeah, the save icon. Oh, look at that! Oh, fully working.
I would say this is semantic on this place. This is semantic, but I would say that meaningfully that's two-dimensional, not three-dimensional. I understand that physically it's three-dimensional, but semantically that's two-dimensional. It has two sides. You're not going to talk about.
And here's why.
That is two sides.
No, you're being a troll because
that's what he is.
You know you're.
Have you not realised that yet?
I like to spark interesting conversations
because you know the floppy disks before those ones, the big black
thinner.
Ones. Yeah,
yeah.
Thinner,
5 1/4,
three dimensional.
No, I acknowledge that in terms of physics. In terms of physics, it's three dimensional, but in terms of semantics, it's two dimensional. You're never going to talk about the. In fact, you wouldn't even say the sides; you'd say the edge. That is a two-dimensional
like a coin.
Talk about the height if you were putting it into the wrong floppy disk machine,
the wrong slot.
Who would do that?
What do you reckon would go further in a frisbee? The smaller thicker or the longer blacker?
Depends what size you mean. I'm presuming you mean 5 1/4 inch, but there were 8 inch and 10 inch and all. There's been all sorts of sizes. In my life I've owned 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. And 3.5 inch floppy disks, and
same here.
Various hard drive caddy things and stuff.
Are you two very middle class? Because I've only ever had 3 and 3.5. We couldn't afford computers when they were on fucking 5 inch floppies. Jesus Christ!
Five and a quarter inch floppy. I was just lucky that.
Did you have a fucking Acorn or something?
No. God, no.
Okay, BBC.
I had my Atari 8-bit. And it was secondhand, and it had a tape drive and a floppy drive secondhand.
I'll give you that. Because if any of you had a BBC, this is not a middle-class podcast, and you've got to get out now.
Hey. Secondhand. It was secondhand.
Did you rob it from a school?
No, it was some guy. My dad bought it off when.
Yeah.
They were all right. They were kind of fun, except for the fact that you
BBC
would, like,
was great.
It's a great computer.
You put up.
Probably the third most powerful. Well, possibly the second most powerful 8-bit, off-the-shelf 8-bit, really. Yeah.
Oh yeah, was that
nice? Except you'd play a game like Tetris or Qubit or whatever. You'd put the tape in; it would take like 7 minutes to load, and then you get to like 6 minutes, and then the tape would chew up. Like,
yeah, that's my main.
That's for the Spectrum. Like, that's my main kids today thing
is like they the impatience when we used to, me and my friends sitting around the Commodore 64 with a tape machine. Sometimes 15 minutes to load.
Yeah, big games could be. And Elite, for example, there was on the Spectrum, Elite took ages to load.
Yeah, and like a 1 in 5 chance that it just wouldn't load.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't. It wouldn't
so far.
Nothing would happen. So it's like, it's been about 16 minutes. Has it failed? Has it not failed?
Yeah.
Like, we're not
sure. There was not always a check on it. Yeah.
So at that point, after waiting 15 minutes for it to load and maybe on the third attempt, you're not going to go like, yeah, I don't fancy playing that. Let's play something else. You're going to fucking play that for hours.
You play that game for a while, yeah. And same with the 5 1/4-inch discs and the 3 1/2-inch discs, you still, you know, you got used to it quite quickly. After being cassette, for the first time you were with a disc machine, you're like, oh, this is super fast. But
so fast.
After a while, it starts to get.
And that's
what we're saying. But
I mean, it's same
right now. I mean, when we load a game, like Left 4 Dead, for example, Left 4 Dead 2, it takes fucking ages to load for no apparent reason.
I mean, on my old PC, I used to have a hard drive, and an SSD, and there was no noticeable difference in loading time on something like Left 4 Dead. I think a lot of it was CPU bound, like loading, you know, uncompressing things or whatever. But there wasn't really a discernible difference. But moving to this NVMe drive, it's faster. Yeah, that is faster.
Mm. I've never really timed it because I've got an NVMe drive in this machine now as well.
Well, I've noticed that,
but it's not the fastest one. It's like the two generations ago because my board can only.
When we did level transitions, Ghosty would load about like 30 seconds before me previously, and now it's about 2 seconds.
So. Ah, right. I've never thought of it.
Thirty seconds is an exaggeration, but
I imagine Ghosty is definitely pretty top notch computer, right?
Yeah, Ghosty's got
It's got top-notch internet, we know that.
Yeah.
He likes to flaunt it around the Discord room with his
such
4K
streaming. He comes
such
in, he's like, I am French and I have the best computer.
So,
and guess all the girls, I bet.
Well, he's young, better looking than us, so yeah.
The amount we talk about Ghosty, we should have him on one episode, and it should be like maybe midway through season 5. And we make him watch that episode, having not watched any other episodes,
and then
have him on the show to talk about it.
I don't know who these people are, I don't know what's going on, but hey, the effects were nice, I guess.
Well, no, because he's getting a version of the story from us.
That's right.
So he's got an idea in his head of like who's who and what people like. It's not a very solid. It's not a very cohesive idea. But he's got. So it would be interesting comparing that.
Yeah, he must get the broad strokes from the few episodes we've done where we actually managed to talk about the show properly.
Like, he's going to know what the belters are vaguely. You know, the relationship between Earth and Mars. Some of the characters, and I think that's an interesting way to experience a narrative. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched podcasts like that. I've watched podcasts like this about shows that I haven't watched, and it is interesting. You get a different, and then when you go and watch it, it's like it's a bit like what you expected and a bit not, and that's interesting.
That is interesting. If you've any feedback on that, just
get an emailing. We don't get many emails.
Yeah, we're
I was
going to
say,
I
don't want to be pushy, but we've had like three, and two of them were for Chris's friends. not that they're worth less.
Thanks,
they're, if anything, worth more. But you normal people, like, we don't care about you as much as we care about Carla, but we do care somewhat.
Yeah, and also, I think to
please,
like,
please,
I know the Ghosty just tells us directly. I mean, we do, like, I think that, like, a lot of people tell us in the Discord room, don't they? Or at least Ghosty does.
Yeah,
that's true. I suppose we're getting some feedback that way. Yeah.
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 Talking to Carla, though, I replied to her email and she didn't reply back, so she's fucking rude, so who cares?
No, I think she might have mentioned something about that. She said she was going to reply, but we've got to be conscious of this, so sorry for doing this on the show, but it was like, because of it being an email forward, she like replied, but it replied to herself or something like that.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
And she was going to send it again, but I think... like a certain amount of time had passed that she felt it would become awkward.
I get messages on Discord and emails, and I'm like, I'm going to reply. Like, I'm in a voice call. I'm like, I'm going to reply to that after the voice call. And then the voice call lasts for 15 hours. And then the next day, I'm like, oh, God, yeah, I was going to reply. And then, yeah, just it gets more awkward the longer you leave it.
I kind of have this rule now of I don't care how long it is. I just say,
that's
sorry,
the best
this,
thing to, yeah.
You know, sorry, yeah. I sort of swallow my pride and be like, yeah, and just do it. Because no one actually, like, people would, yeah, I don't know. But then again, I'm a little more shameless than most people, I think, in a lot of cases.
There's a bit in King of the Hill where, what's Hank's wife's name?
Peggy.
Oh, Peggy.
Peggy is talking to, what's Hank's niece's name?
Hank's what's name?
His niece. I forgot her
Hank's
name.
Niece.
Anyway, whoever name is Peggy. Peggy says to her, "You just literally have no shame, do you? What's that like?" And niece just goes, "Yeah, it's nice." Which I'm like,
That's not like not Brandine, is it, or
something like? It's not that, but it's something like that.
Yeah, she's
good show.
It's an amazing show. One of the best.
Luann.
I like.
Luann. Yeah.
Brandine. Like, what's a redneck name? do you reckon Dale Gribble would get the COVID vaccine?
No. Dale's an anti-vax.
He'd probably have died from...
He'd be dead by now.
Yeah,
anyway.
He's... probably, I mean, he smoked an awful lot.
What are you saying?
Smoking might not necessarily be the best thing in the world health-wise for you, but that's just a thought. I don't know if it's proven.
Yeah, that seems...
No.
Fake science,
fake news,
I mean.
Fake news.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So,
King of the Hill, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, okay, check
actually, to be honest, see, if it was one of those things where one of us hadn't watched it, I'd say that'd be a good one for Space Virgins too.
Mm.
I don't think necessarily one of us has to have not watched it, but I will also say, like, I think with most comedy stuff, I think it's difficult to talk about in the way we talk about The Expanse, because that joke was funny.
Yeah,
you know, there's not a ton of plot.
It's political, though, isn't it? It's political.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, yeah, King of the Hill, I think, is perhaps the one exception to that, because it does have a lot of commentary in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you could also think of it something like The Thick of It, with the same idea. Again, I think
that's less, honestly, in a way.
Well, it's very political.
Yeah, but it's satirizing forms, whereas King of the Hill is satirizing like literally like ways of living and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a formal satire versus a structural satire or something.
He's so clever.
Yeah, and I think the satire in King of the Hill is cleverer than in The Thick of It.
I think
more,
I think,
subtle.
King of the Hill,
yeah,
is one of the best.
Yeah.
And actually, some of the political commentary.
It's more nuanced because you've got. You got Hank, who is like a sort of a proud conservative Republican, blah blah blah. But there's an episode where he talks about the environment and he's just berating the person you just mentioned, the smoker one, saying like, I live in Texas. If it gets one more degree above what it is in summer here, I'm gonna fucking kill you. You know, which is a very normal. You know, I think that's how politics is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got a lot to say. I think it's clever, way cleverer than The Thick of It. Also, yeah, some of the earlier seasons of The Simpsons were pretty politically astute.
Yeah, not to the same.
On
it's more
off.
Of like
not to the same degree.
It's very gentle.
Bear Patrol that was mentioned the other day. That's a good.
I think, because people at the time and people talking about Simpsons back in the day would often say it's subversive, and I think people can. People now can look at it and go, like, that's not fucking subversive. That's very tame. But I think it was formally subversive. Like, having a sitcom in the form of a cartoon that's about the working class, like, all of that together was very unusual and very upsetting to, you know, it redefined things and a lot of that. But now we're normalized to that because it influenced a lot of what came after it.
Yeah, definitely. And now you can't move for those kind of cartoons.
Mm, mm.
I'm all right. I quite like Bob's Burgers. That's nice.
I enjoy Bob's Burgers.
I've not seen that one. People have mentioned it to me, and I've not.
It takes a lot for me to sort of get into any sort of cartoon.
It's got charm. It's got charm. It's sentimentality. It's nice.
It's not hugely complex, but it's nice to watch. Yeah. It's just soothing. It's almost, it's wholesomeness, really, you know, it's, but it's not really political, I don't think, really.
No.
It's pretty, you know, just, but it's good. It's nice. Better than Family Guy.
Yeah.
So we've talked about quite a few shows that are not The Expanse.
That's true. Well, I was actually going to mention I was going to mention Arrested Development because I just started watching that. I've never seen it before, so
I've never seen it.
It's got a lot of feeling of soap in it. If you ever saw that.
Chris will be too young.
It's a bit before my time.
I think, given it's Ron Howard that's sort of behind it in a lot of ways, I think I can see, you know, I think his element of it is probably that part. You know, the soap type of thing, because he would be around at the time.
Mm. You know, cause but I mean, he just, same, yeah.
The same Ron Howard from Happy Days, right?
Yes.
Yeah, who's directs big movies now and stuff, yeah. And produces TV movies.
He was a producer, but I think he was a fairly hands-off producer. He left. I forget the name of the dude who sort of made the show.
It was the original idea. It's kind of a mesh of ideas that came.
He had an idea about. I think he takes a little bit too much credit for that, because he says, you know, we can do new things in a single camera format that haven't been done before, like blah blah blah. I mean, first of all, Trailer Park Boys precedes it. There's a bunch of stuff that precedes it, but also there were single camera sitcoms in the 50s. Like, it wasn't a new idea. It was a resurgence more than an invention. But it's just one of those shows like The Expanse where it's perfectly fucking cast. Every character is perfectly fucking cast and has an actual character, and they're lesser caricature than, and it's, again, similar to The Expanse, it's got like sort of interweaving plot lines interweaving sort of jokey plot lines that call back and reference each other in clever ways. I think it's very cleverly constructed as a comedy.
I've got an idea for a podcast after Space Virgins.
Mm-hmm.
There's no life after Space Virgins. We do Space Virgins 2.
Yeah.
Okay, for Space Virgins 2. We watch Space Virgins something,
because it's Alien and Aliens. So it's Space Virgins.
Ah, yeah. we could do something like watch the first three episodes of just a random show. Something really like I Love Lucy, or The Dick Van Dyke Show, or
Bewitched.
Happy Days, Bewitched, whatever. Something like completely that none of us have seen before, or something. Mm. Or we've only vaguely seen a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then just talk maybe a little bit about the context, how it's
I'd enjoy that. Kind of... I'd love that.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Cool with me.
I don't know if we've still got quite a lot of The Expanse to go though,
so you know.
We're just over halfway.
We are getting through it though, we're getting through it. So, as we're saying, The Expanse.
This is a Western, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, this episode, right?
Yeah.
There was one scene towards the end where it was a proper Western. You had the narrow bars, and you had Murtry and Holden and they were like standing off. And it went a little bit Back to the Future at the end, didn't it?
Oh, did it?
Future 3, where he just punched him in the face.
I'm not hugely familiar with Back to the Future 3.
Yeah, I don't remember Back to the Future 3 well enough to know what part you're referencing, sorry.
Okay, well, basically...
That's a millennial Marty McFly, reference, Christopher. Get it out of here.
Yeah.
It was made. It was the Future film came out in, like, 87. It's a good, fun time. It's nice.
Back to the Future is overrated, I agree. It's good, but it's one of those things that Gen X has just fucking hold on to. Same as Ghostbusters. They just hold on to it too much. Like, it was a good kids film.
I'm not fond of Ghostbusters.
I kind of hate Ghostbusters.
I'm quite a big Ghostbusters fan, still.
Gen X needs to fucking let go of these things and not like talk them up like they're the greatest creations of art history. Like, they were decent kids films in their time. Let it go.
I would say better than decent, but good.
I think when Gen X's talk about Big
Trouble in Little China.
Back to the Future or whatever. It's like when my mum would talk about fucking Andy Pandy.
Oh my god, I saw an episode of that on YouTube just to see what it was like. My god, it is so bad.
It's nothing. It's
the quality of TV.
But my mum and dad would talk about it like it was the greatest fucking thing ever, you know.
And I saw the comments on it, and for some reason it's like, oh, I'm like 64 and this is just such a nice, like... nostalgia.
Bill and Ben as well. Fucking Bill and Ben, they would talk about. And then you watch an episode.
Oh, hang on. Bill and Ben was what I was thinking about in my head.
Yeah. And it's just two flowers going like. It's
Button
nothing.
Moon.
It's literally nothing. Button Moon. Yeah. Button Moon. See, although, to me, Button Moon was great.
I actually kind of like Button Moon. Button Moon was good. Only because it's kind of a bit surreal.
Yeah. A bit anarchic I think. It had a bit of an anarchic feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just.
Did you follow Mr. Spoon
weird
to
and
get
original?
Button Moon.
Yeah, that was original. I liked Button Moon. Nothing ever really followed Button. Not in terms of quality.
It
like,
ripped
it
off the clang.
It was standard.
It ripped off the clangers. In my book. Like...
I may be controversial. I think Button Moon was better than the clangers.
I didn't really watch any of them. I've never, even when I was a kid, I wasn't that into kids shows.
You were never a child.
Probably not, in a lot of ways.
I was definitely more into video games.
Well, video games didn't exist at first.
Yeah. we didn't have a choice.
You didn't have a choice until like the late 70s, really.
Mm. I mean, to be fair, I was more into, like, not adult shows, but, like, I loved Rockford Files.
Yeah, I watched
The Stuntman one we were talking about, The Fall Guy. Doesn't ring a bell.
Petrocelli. It was kind of a bit like the Rockford Files in some ways, but it was that sort of thing. But he was a lawyer, and he was always building his house and living in an RV or something.
always had weird quirks like that in the 80s, just like weird character traits that didn't mean anything, but just made them a bit more characterful, and I like it.
Yeah.
I think Rockford just lived in like a caravan or something.
Yeah, he was something similar. That's why I'm saying it had a similar feel in some ways. Yeah. And then
the Rockford Files theme tune is
excellent,
a banger.
Excellent
as the kids
tune,
say.
Yeah. As the kids say.
You ever watch Johnny? You're too. I don't say too old for Johnny Bravo, but that was a bit ahead of your time, wasn't it?
I caught the edges of it. I know what it is, but I'm not conversant.
He is the.
It's a cartoon.
He's like.
I'm vaguely
an adorable catcaller.
It was done with a wink. Yeah. It was knowing, like, I think cartoons of that time had, like, I think that was a good era for kids like Fairly Odd Parents as well. I think it's similar
kind
of
90s,
vein.
Is it? Daria was
the bug
a good
one.
Daria is one of those few animations I did see. That was an excellent.
Well, that was a spin-off from
excuse me, I've got to take this Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Which was also Mike Judge, King of the Hill Man.
Yes. I've never actually watched Daria, but I think Johnny Bravo might be one of those things that we could do like the first three episodes of and watch. He was sexually aggressive, but the women always kicked his ass, and the moral of the story was Don't harass women. But he was also kind of a complicated guy because there was a lot of insinuation that he was like a confused gay man.
Yeah.
You know that episode where he was on the Island of Beautiful Women. He got lost and he got kicked off the Island of Beautiful Women onto the Island of Beautiful Men, and then like it was like. Ooh.
I think that was, again, those cartoons of that era, that was when they were starting to be in kids' stuff more overt with exploring ideas of, like, not gender identity, sexuality and stuff, because Fairly Odd Parents felt very queer. There's a lot of queerness going on there, I think. And it wasn't the male fairy explicitly gay? I think he may have.
I don't know. I think my sister was more into Fairly Odd Parents than me.
Oh, you're not, you'd like it. It's very good.
I like Dexter's silly. Lab. I thought that was the coolest
Dexter's Lab
is all, thing
another example. Yeah. They were good.
I wanted to
cartoons.
Be like Dexter from Dexter's Lab so badly. Like, that's... Like, he was my sort of childhood hero, almost, if I had
him. That
makes so
Dexter
much sense.
Dexter from Dexter's Lab.
Mum's home. Mum got home.
Okay,
good. That's good news. She's only in for one day.
That's really
she's
good.
Pumped full of morphine and all sorts of other things.
Oh, well, at least she's having a fun time of it then, I guess. Does she like it?
Oh, I think she's had a lot of it over the years, so, yeah.
See, when I get to a certain age, I'm just going to just pump myself full of it.
Oh, yeah, you're planning to be a junkie.
Yeah,
I like that before you self-edited. When I get to a certain age, I'm just going to pump it.
Yeah, I'm bored with that. You know, pump it through my veins. I've heard. Get it off the dark web if I have to.
I've heard old people are really fucking horny.
Depends on the old person,
In retirement homes and stuff, they have to have sex education lessons and shit, basically, for these people who never really had them and don't understand about how, you know,
STDs and
venereal
stuff.
Diseases. Yeah. Mm.
See, I think when I get to a certain age, I think it's going to be a lot of physical work. And maybe
I'll give you a heads up. See, yes,
yeah. Like I prefer handies. I think you know.
I'm kind of at that point already. Yeah,
I see the appeal of it. I mean, but then again, I got to be honest. It's kind of becoming apparent to me that I'm not as physically fit as I used to be, and I want to kind of do more to get a bit more.
I was getting fit for a while with mainly due to that sort of activity, and it's obviously fallen off.
No, lean into it. Don't fight against, you know, you're fighting against the ravages of time. I didn't mean that.
I just meant I was getting fitter because of it.
Oh, you mean from it? Okay, Yeah.
No, but it's like, I mean, I'm not saying I want to be a fitness nut, but I want to be you know, moderate. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm sure the marathon runners and those Ironman competitors, they probably tear their bodies apart over the years. But then again, like it's the happy medium.
You don't want to end up like this. I like walking in the woods.
If I could be immortal, I'd be up for it. If I could do some exercises that make you immortal.
Nah, I mean, I just want a better. I want a better older life. That's all I want. You know, like you know,
I don't know if it is like that much sparing.
I think it's more of a feelings thing, and I think it does. Like in terms of how you feel, not in terms of age.
I wouldn't know. Not having been fit for 20+ years.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a home gym, but you're not going to. I know.
Can you imagine, though?
I mean, you might become unbearable.
Become?
No, you might be asking us how much we press, how much we bench and stuff, you know.
I'm talking just like walks in the woods and stuff like that, you know, like actual, like...
I mean, that's nice because it's nice.
Yeah, I always feel a bit weird. Again, like Jackie we do D&D with goes to the gym. And it's like, my God, and he doesn't like going to the gym. I don't know if you've ever heard him talk about it. But,
it's like, the fact that he doesn't like it. Don't do
like,
it.
Like, just, there are so many, I think he wants to bulk up or something, and I don't entirely know why. Because he's got a very good body. Like, You know, he's sorry for this, but he's got a hot wife. Like, you know, you know, he lives in a nice house. Like, he's doing all right for himself. So...
I don't know the guy, so I'm not going to enter any sort of opinions.
I know this is a trite old man kind of thing to say that it's not like I'm having a novel idea here, but like I don't really get going to gyms versus like you know just take up a physical hobby, build some walls or do gardening or do carpentry or something that.
Yeah, I'd rather be doing something physical and that.
Do something useful rather than because a gym and again the trite, but a gym is literally a building devoted to wasting energy.
Yeah,
which is kind of perverse.
Yeah, I think some people appeal.
We're so comfortable in the first world.
It became a big thing in the last.
We're overfed.
2 years, you know.
We're overfed and under physically worked, so we have to go to a building to work off the over. And then there's places where we're starving. You know, like I know that's trite and whatever, but
yeah, but like
there's hunger belters out there.
Yeah, I wish there was a way that you could cycle that wasn't in the rain. Like if there was a bubble over your bike or something.
Oh no, cycling in the rain's lovely.
Not when you're going to work.
Don't get like rained on. No, it's nice. It feels nice.
No, but
cycle in a t-shirt and have your like suit in a bag and just put it on.
I've done that in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. If like more work businesses had like proper changing rooms.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, But yeah, like I definitely like, yeah, I don't want to do working out if it feels like a chore. But I think a lot of people like the gym stuff because they can like listen to a podcast or watch TV on their phone whilst they're working out.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I would do in those circumstances, rather than get a gym membership, just get a cross trainer.
Those things, I mean,
I mean, at this point, we're past the point where gyms are for places for working out, and now they're places for Instagrammers to make videos. Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so, well, and TikTokers, I'm sure.
And TikTokers,
mostly Instagrammers.
Yeah.
Probably mostly Instagrammers. I don't know. Yeah. It feels like an Instagrammer.
It feels more Instagrammy. Yeah. No, different feel.
No.
Yeah,
TikTok's far more political, and Instagram is far more influencery. I would say. I mean, not that TikTok doesn't have influence; it does, but it feels more. Feels more authentic. That could be cultivated, but it feels more authentic and more political, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's sort of illustrated by the sort of the looming TikTok ban type of thing. Them all going to Red Note.
Yeah.
It's like, what gym people wouldn't do that. That's a political statement.
They're going to an explicitly Maoist platform.
Yeah,
I love that as a fuck you to the US Senate.
That is,
well, I mean, I wonder how many of them actually stayed over there, though.
Oh sure,
Trump saved it.
Yeah. I mean, he did save it. Like,
he saved it from the ban that he started.
He did. But you know,
saved it from Trump.
That's like me dangling you over a cliff, pulling you back, and going, "I saved you." You know,
that's exactly what it is.
Well, technically, I did save you, but.
It was bipartisan.
It's like you saying you're going to dangle me over a cliff, and then you get deposed and somebody else comes along, actually dangles me over a cliff, and then you stopping it from happening. It's more like that.
Either way, forget them.
we can hate somebody and still acknowledge that sometimes they accidentally do good things.
Hang on, who's doing the good thing?
Trump?
What, by banning TikTok?
By unbanning TikTok. That was a good thing. He's a cunt. He's an awful, horrible, blah, 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 but that was good.
Didn't bother me either way, really. For so many reasons. No. Like, living in the US, using TikTok.
I suppose, you know, I mean, it does go against, in my opinion, the First Amendment.
I mean, it is very clearly against. Yeah, they've always did we say this last time? They just don't ban websites in the US because it's a problem with the First Amendment. So,
I suppose the argument could be the platform is not the speech.
Exactly. Nobody's stopping people from saying the things they're saying. It's just that's like saying that every newspaper has to print whatever you tell it to. You know, every website has to have everything you say on it because you.
I think shutting down. The way they've interpreted it before is shutting down a platform of speech is shutting down speech, which I think is a fair way of reading it, and I think a healthy
way.
There's
two ways of reading it.
On behalf of a government, I think that's a good way of reading it.
Well, yeah, maybe.
It's difficult because one of the big motivating factors was the pro-Palestinian conversation on Discord, on TikTok, and that was really a driving force behind it. That was certainly why a lot of the money
that Chinese ownership. Yeah. It was basically that, really. I think there's another, but...
Yeah, but, like, I mean, Elon Musk is South African. And he owns Twitter.
Well, is he American?
No.
Resident
he's an
now?
Illegal immigrant.
Is he an illegal
immigrant? He's an immigrant, yeah.
The problem, with saying he's a South African, that feeds into the way we think about immigrants in general. So, you know, people who've emigrated from Mexico to America, they're not real Americans either. I think that's a dangerous path to go down.
I never said he was or wasn't. I just agreed that he was South African. That's all I said. And his father moved to South Africa during apartheid deliberately to exploit it.
I mean,
and that's where his money.
Yeah.
That's where his money comes from.
Yeah.
And his mum's Cruella De Vil.
I don't know whether he's an American citizen or whether he tried to immigrate. Yeah, I don't know. So no, I don't think he is. Relevant,
this is like the disagreement he had with his dad, where it's like. my dad doesn't own an emerald mine because he stole it. His dad's like, I don't own an emerald mine. I stole that. And then I can't remember who's on what side. But
it's legitimate salvage.
Yeah. It's like,
anyway,
it's not mine.
Expanse,
I stole it.
The expanse.
The expanse.
Mm. Yeah. So
this episode,
gets,
I think, is
going to
be
punch in the face from.
This episode, I imagine, is a disappointment to Chris because there's no proto-molecule stuff in this one at all.
There's a little.
Is there? What is
well,
there?
Well, yeah, there is a bit.
They talk about there are other proto-molecule machines firing up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And there's those three islands that are getting really, really hot for some reason.
That's
on
true.
The far
there
side of the
that.
Planet from where they are.
And I quite like the Belter plot line in this a little bit. I really like the chemistry between Ashford and Drummer. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that whole thing, the whole thing, the way it plays out was really well done, And you're meant to think,
you know,
oh, is Ashford going to fall for it? And...
You know what I was thinking of as they were doing their little kangaroo call?
Good cop, bad cop, and, oh, right, no, I think
it was
the
like,
other bit, yeah.
Oh, no, the... They had all the major faction leaders, which isn't that many. I thought there'd be more factions, but I say
no,
major.
No, they're the ones
I guess.
That had the ships that came in and helped them fight off his ship. But
they
do represent some of the large
factions. Yeah.
It was two large ones and a sort of mediumy one, really.
Yeah, and it felt a bit like it's probably fairer than the court system in the UK.
Probably is in some ways.
I mean, to be fair, the UK court system is. By the standards of liberal democracy, is actually quite good. We're a lot better than American.
Yes, yeah, all right, yeah, definitely better than American. Yeah. Like, you know. Maybe,
I think judges here are... Because judges in America is a very political position, and here it's less... I mean, judges tend to come from a particular background, for sure, so come with particular... But for example, in the cases of debt... they will always side with the person over the company in the case of debt, which I think is probably flipped in America, or at least less generous towards the... Yeah, I think we're not bad at problems, for sure, but we're not the worst in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't envision a court system without problems, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah,
like
it's
a problem I'm by not really qualified to seriously commentate on, but...
This is probably going to be very controversial to any liberals and probably anybody who's actually back. I'm not sure that the jury system is a good idea in a lot of circumstances. Because again, when things dealing with debt, I think tend to go in front of magistrates rather than a judge and a jury. And magistrates are educated, and you know their time is devoted to understanding the issues involved in things. And I think there's. Mm. Obviously, there's arguments to be made both ways for that, but...
No, I'm totally with you on the jury. Yeah. Because there's like an expression, I think, particularly with American stuff, because in America, they debate whether or not to have a jury trial. That's like one of the things that they sort of discuss over and square up with the judge and everything. And there's this expression, I'm probably butchering it, which is a New York jury will convict a ham sandwich.
Yeah,
like if you want a guilty verdict, you get the jury because it's easier.
I don't think
it's
whether to have a jury trial, because I think that's guaranteed in the Constitution, but I think it's where to try it.
Because
you can argue.
Like
yeah.
It's like, juries, they're not qualified. Mm. You know, they are fallible.
The point. It's supposed to be your peers judging, you know, the expert witnesses are supposed to present the information to. I do see arguments for both, but also in America, they have voir dire where... The defense and prosecution can strike certain jurors. The defense or the prosecution might try and go for a more racist jury. They literally, you know, try and go, you know, and vice versa. And that's fucking stupid. It should just be a randomly selected group of peers if you're going to have it.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the big misinterpretations of the British jury. If you get called for jury service, you're probably doing jury service, and you're not really allowed. You can't really get off it. You know,
you can't.
Say,
you can't go. I'm a racist.
I'm a racist.
Okay, carry on.
You know, that's. Yeah, I don't know what the correct answer to this is, but like I feel a little bit like, you know, the police crime commissioner position, like when they made that a democratic position, and it's like, ask someone on the street what the PCC does. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Who am a relatively, like, you know, I keep up with current events and that kind of thing, you know. I'm not that.
I am not informed to make that decision. I don't know
and
what
also,
that job entails.
Also, finding out information on the candidates when the election comes around is so fucking difficult. Mm.
I think that's democracy for sure. I think they're democratizing positions where they know we can't make an informed decision, so it doesn't really matter. And they're not democratizing, you know, make councils more democratic, let them raise their own taxes and stuff.
I personally am definitely in favor of compulsory voting. I think it's a civic duty at this stage, if you know.
We have talked about that before.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. But you can't, like, I don't think you should be allowed to obscure you know, small elections. They like, even on very local levels, you know, they deal with planning issues and things like that.
Mm.
They're more consequential to your day-to-day life than the big elections.
I don't think you can make people care is the problem. And I don't think you can make me care when there's nobody I want to fucking vote for. When there's nobody I can, in my own conscience, vote for. Making me feel like I'm obliged. The system's shit enough anyway. If you're guilting me and making me feel like you're doing your civic duty, if you've... Bullshit. Have better candidates.
No, it's not guilting you. It's making you. It's forcing you. Like... I'm not going to vote.
If there's nobody to vote.
Yeah, but then you spoil the paper or whatever, right?
Yeah, I get it, but it's...
You just have to communicate with the system.
It's a tacit implication that the system is working well and the problem was with me, not with the politicians. And that can go fuck itself.
Yeah.
No, I think it's... It part of it is, and the reason I came around to this view and that why I hold it quite strongly is when the Conservatives brought in the ID system for voting, and it's like the onus for people to vote should be on the government to make sure that every single person can vote.
Yeah, I'm
and the only
that,
way that
yeah.
you can
well,
you can
it was a
prove
jury
that
rigging thing,
is by making every
not jury rigging,
gerrymandering. Yeah, yeah, and I think basically if you make every single person vote, it depowers gerrymandering. As well, and selective,
voter,
you know,
voter
suppression
and
all that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, especially in America, where minority communities basically hardly vote at all. And the
varies,
more disenfranchised they get, the less.
Certainly,
they vote.
It's in the interest of certain parties to suppress the votes of certain.
Yeah, which is why the Conservatives
and in America it's even
and why Labour haven't reversed it. Because those two parties don't care which one of them is in, really, as long as they like to get their turn. But they're, you know, they're not doing it for the people. They're doing it for they're only interested in getting into the trough for a while. That's what they want. That's why Starmer doesn't give a shit. Starmer's just setting everything up for his retirement, basically, for his, you know, his after politics thing. And it's the same with a lot of the others, very clearly. Anyway,
I'm holding off. This is probably going to be very disagreeable to you, but I'm actually holding off my opinion of Starmer until the next general election, because my suspicion, and I'm not saying he's going to be secretly a good guy or nothing like this, that the first year is going to be
very
all the shit decisions, and then maybe
I would understand that if they were shit decisions that were popular.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're shit decisions that are unpopular.
Yeah. He does that in the first. Just
well, that
after
means he's not going to get elected the second
why,
time.
You know, yeah.
Because the better decisions come a couple of years into his term, where people have shorter memories. If he does stuff in the first year, and then just
so why is he doing bad stuff now? Why is he doing stuff that is unpopular and bad for the country? Why would you do that at all?
Exactly. Because it's good for the money.
You'll have to ask him that.
We know the answer. It's good for large capital. You know that's
it's good for large capital. Yeah, but you know, he is a capitalist.
Global capital.
You know, yeah, like.
Well, that's the problem. He's in the fucking Labour Party and he's a capitalist. It's supposed to be a fucking socialist party. Go fuck off. Get out of that party.
He's not a socialist. Yeah, get out of it.
Corbyn, there's been rumblings
about Corbyn. You know what they do to socialists in the Labour Party?
Pardon?
Oh, yeah.
You know what they do to socialists in the Labour Party?
Get rid of them.
At best, they ignore them, and at worst, they fucking
destroy them. Yeah.
In fact, wasn't Corbyn interviewed by the police under caution for attending a Palestine rally
at
like,
the weekend?
Fuck's
there was
sake.
There was two. Yeah, him and McDonnell were both.
And McDonald, I was surprised to see McDonald there actually, but there you go.
Yeah, I mean those are examples of.
And it was a very very peaceful thing that they filmed and everything. You know.
Yeah. Anyway, we are way off track.
Okay, right.
I'm going to make a cup of tea and have it wrapped up by the time I have tea.
Okay. No, it's okay.
It's your fault
right.
talking about politics too long and making me thirsty. I was also doing it. It's also my fault.
Twat.
All right. Well, what's the most boring part that's...
Well, we've already mentioned that they have a fist fight. Or, well, Murtry doesn't have a fist fight. Murtry gets his face punched.
I mean, I'm interested. Like the thing about Murtry, right?
I mean, he does pull his gun, and Holden knocks it out of his hand. You know,
I'm glad Holden walked
and then takes
off with his
it,
gun,
and then takes it away. Know. Yeah, he doesn't, so he can't get shot in the back with that gun. He may get shot in the back with another gun, but no.
Do you reckon? What do you reckon would have happened if Holden shot Murtry?
I don't. That's a good. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one to ask. I don't know, because how loyal would these people be without him there, You know, they're a tight group, but you know, there's already wavering with certain members of it. Obviously, the one that's what's her name, Chandra, is torn already because of her relationship with Amos, and she's obviously more sympathetic to the Belters in a lot of ways as well. You know.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. He might have been able to get away.
Yeah. What would have happened if he shot him? I don't know. Drew, what would have happened if Holden had shot Murtry?
I think he could have got away with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the only fanatic that the rest of his team seem to be all that fanatic.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. It's like I think there's more. What was the word I used? I forgot what it was. There's already sort of rumblings and you know, it's him holding it together. It's him holding it. I just think
Holden wouldn't do it. I don't think Holden would do that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Holden, it's cold blood, basically.
Yeah. I think Amos. I mean, Amos offered. You know, he said, "Yeah.
Just go to Murtry. Amos and give him the wink."
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you want somebody dead, tell Amos.
My cat has boiled, so give me 1 second.
Yeah. Okay.
He probably would have got away with it, but I don't know what happens now, and you're going to have to poker face it because it's like, but I don't know. Like, obviously, Holden out. Kind of outranks Murtry, right? Like,
because Holden's an envoy of the UN's highest power. So but at the same time, if the Ross and Antony crew had to go away, Murtry would be thinks he's in charge anyway. So there's basically didn't that come up? No, they talk about humans in this.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I've got a question actually. Did we see the Ross and Antony take off just at the end, right at the end of the episode?
Towards the end,
towards the end of the episode.
Yeah. Now,
they wanted to get Naomi back into lighter gravity. Yeah.
Okay, so they're. Yeah. So are they going to be coming back down or watching? I don't. We'll find out, I guess.
I think there's no. We can't really answer that. Because events Holden will dictate, is what we can say.
Yeah. Holden walked back into town.
He did, yeah.
And Amos is obviously...
Amos is
he's probably
town,
going
yeah.
to get Amos.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's his first port of call, yeah.
Yeah.
Amos has grown. I think Amos has matured so much. You know, when he's strapped into the bed, I think an earlier version of Amos would have struggled pointlessly against that. Impotent rage kind of thing, and he's just like, take this fuck. He's angry, but he knows he can't help himself so he's saving his energy, which I think is a smart. He's grown as our boy.
maybe dad. I guess. It's going to be interesting to see what the protomolecule does. Maybe what the protomolecule does is like better seen from outside, because obviously it looked like the scientist guy who's up on the higher up ship.
Yeah, they're seeing all the things because they're scanning. They're orbiting the planet and getting scans from probes and things, I think. So they're seeing all over the planet. Yeah. Because it does seem to be a much larger scale thing that's happening than has ever happened before.
Yeah,
Well, I suppose the ring space was a big, physically big space. But so you know what I'm saying, though. Everybody could see what was happening.
It was one thing rather than a bunch of
yeah. Whereas this is things all over, on the planet's equator or wherever it is, wherever the moons are aligned.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but the only one who's going to know that is that that dude with the overview. Who's
he's got that overview. Yeah, the people on the ship. Yeah, I think that's a very good view for us to get as well. I think we're getting a good view from there. I was going to say, talking about Martian domes and things last time. If you watch the titles that they've got now, you actually see the outer part on the top of those canyons.
Yeah,
so in the Mariner Valley, you see. So they are built into the rock, but there's also like bits on the top that are, you know, obviously sealed up, presumably for shuttle landings and you know, airlocks and stuff.
Yeah, that looks kind of cool. That's kind of nice.
It is a bit. Yeah, like, yeah. They've rather than just throwing up a dome or a small city or whatever, they've worked into the landscape, you know, which is probably saving them a lot of building material because that's the same in the belt. They burrow into the asteroids and things rather than, you know, trying to build on top of them. Because why build it out the way when you can?
I'd love to live in a rock house, like a house carved out of rock.
A cave.
With like a dome on top.
Well, like those, lovely. Those monasteries that you see on social media and stuff. Actually, there's a
version of that,
yeah. Yeah, there's a little chapel in Wales. I forget where it is now, where there is a little chapel built out of the side of a mountain.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Okay. Yeah, it's like in West Wales. It's got... yes, so it's like on the coast. It's what do we got? It's not there. What
about... Is that peanut?
Ah, here we go. Saint Govan's Chapel. So Saint Govan's Chapel, and it's a little chapel carved into the side of. The guy used to live there.
My search thing's not working for some reason.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You can just go there. It's like free to park, free to go in there.
That's nice.
Free to have a look around. It's all like it. There's probably like loads of pictures you can find on the internet of it, but it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. It reminds me of you know, the Star Wars sequels where the planet where the Jedi Temple was. They're like little stone huts and things that are sort of part of the landscape almost, don't they? It's a bit like that by the looks of it.
Yeah. It kind of does have that Star Wars-y kind of a vibe about it, yeah. It's kind of nice, and you know, nice part of the world. Free parking. So I reckon if you're ever in West Wales, it's a nice. Usually, there's not like super a lot there, so like it's usually one of those things where you might pop in on your way back or to somewhere, just to have a gander at the chapel. But yeah. So on Mars, Bobby sort of deals with an internal conflict of hers, I guess, right?
Yeah, where it's just more and more disillusionment about Mars, isn't there? And what it stands for.
And she goes to a foreman.
That's tragic. Like, that's tragic for Bobby because she trusts that the system is good. Go on, sorry.
and then so a foreman's like, all right, cut me in on the action.
Yeah,
and...
yeah.
At that point, I'd be fine with it. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even be stupid enough to grasp myself up. But like, having the go-ahead from a cop and the foreman...
It's not that she's trying to hand herself in. She's trying to stop the thing from happening. She's trying to stop the bigger thing from happening. It's not that she's just...
She's not feeling bad for herself about it.
She's feeling, you know...
I think she has a very sort of strong moral code, and the moral, it's a very rulesy, you know, in D&D terms. She's legal, lawful good, she's handing herself in a bit, but also, try and prevent it from happening.
Or
again.
Maybe lawful neutral.
I think lawful good. I think lawful.
Lawful neutral is a little bit like she still fits quite strictly within the rules, even if those rules aren't good. Like, I think a lawful good will still work within the law, but not necessarily the bad laws. Does that make sense?
No, she's lawful good because she look at how many times she has disobeyed what they were telling her to do the right thing.
The disobeying is where the neutral would come from.
Yes, you're right.
I think so.
But she's good, though. She's good.
Oh, yeah. I suppose the
alignment system isn't perfect. I think it's...
No.
Well,
is it the
D&D before AD&D, separate from AD&D? The D&D alignment system was just three. No, it's not a combination of 3x3.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but that's an AD&D thing where you have two parts to it, so you have 9 options.
Yeah, I think she might be. She might be like, is it neutral good? She's good, but
yeah, maybe neutral good.
She's,
yeah.
I mean, I see that, but she does look. She does. She trusts in the system. She goes to her form, and she thinks he's going to do the right thing. She trusts in the structure.
Well,
I think
neutral
that's
good leaning towards neutral good. Then you know.
Yeah, but she can, you know, even when presented with the fact that the structure is bullshit, she's not an. This is a problem with the D&D system. Yeah. Like, you know, it has to change with new information.
Oh, she changes. She definitely.
She
changes,
wants to follow
yeah.
the rules, but she's not going to follow rules that are obviously bad. You know.
But, yeah, so I'd say she's like somewhere between neutral good and lawful good. Like, she's in the space
well,
in
I
between.
Mean, we just say she was lawful good, she's becoming neutral good.
Yeah, 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 that's yeah, the sort of the transition yeah. that she's... but to be honest, like, once if you've got the go-ahead of your foreman and, you know, your line manager or whatever, and you've got the go-ahead of, like, yeah. a cop, like, go for it, like...
Yeah,
crashing.
Her reaction in that is, I think it's just disillusionment. Yeah, like Hamish said, at that point, it's I don't think she's even necessarily thinking, you know, about the rationality of it. She's just like, fuck me, everything I believed in was bullshit. Which is why, you know, at the end, she sides with the actual criminal rather than accepting
the
foreman's
offer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think she'd rather be clear cut. I am on this side rather than, you know, having to play both sides at the same time, kind of thing.
I don't hate. Is it Martin? Is he the cop guy?
I don't at all, no.
I kind of have, like, a personal disdain for corrupt cops.
Well,
because they're kind of... They're a bit narky.
You can be a corrupt cop that makes you even worse than a cop, or you can be a corrupt cop in a direction that, like, somewhat mollifies the being a cop. You know, you'll go, oh, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like...
Nuanced, as Ghosty might say. Yeah, like
Isai Martin. Sorry, I was trying to find some notes.
Isai Martin.
That's a good name, Isai. I like that.
Yeah, and he doesn't. He's not like mean or aggressive.
No.
Well, I mean,
I
will point you back to the fact that a man was killed during the operation just before Bobby was recruited. Before, you know, for all the
that's a point.
For all you're saying, people don't get think hurt, he's... and it's a victimless crime, and you know, people would die. People would die because of them.
To be clear,
and
I don't think he's
like
a good
the
person.
Girl that, it seems like Lily actually murdered the guy. It seems like she did it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
she's
a good person.
She's a bit naughty. She's a bit bad.
A bit naughty.
Well, I think same as him. Again, I think what this show is great at is not making straight... It's not just straight up the goodies and the baddies.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good or bad.
It's people...
Yeah.
And it's not like they're morally grey. They're, you know, it's not that. It's they are like normal people. You know, he might be a generally good person, but he does some wrongings sometimes. Like, and but he seems like... He seems like a nice, whether he's a good person or a bad person, he seems like a nice person. He's got
a nice
charisma
to him.
He seems to care about people, you know, like, it's complex. But I like him. I do like him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean I enjoy him as a character. I think I would get along with him.
Yeah, probably. Like, I think in the world of crime, niceness is important.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Not crime, like in the corporate world. I want the mean people to be mean and the nice people to be nice, and I want the straightforwardness. But in the world of crime, there's so many mean people that I like nice people are just like, oh,
well,
great, someone who I can deal with, like talk to, you know, converse with, like
not
negotiate
all,
with.
Not to be all like that, but I think a Marxist reading helps here in that, like, there aren't good people and bad people. There are people who have material conditions that dictate what they're going to do. His material conditions dictate his path. Bobby's material conditions dictate her path. You know, CEOs, they're not evil. They're not evil people. It's not like we have created a system. To an extent, we have created a system. But they have material interests that are in odds with our material interests.
Do
that's
you not think that it's a little bit like... that's a little bit like... Like a bit arse about face, insofar maybe the people that are more inclined to get towards the top of the system are the evil people.
I think there's something to that, but that what Marx addressed, which socialism before him failed to address because it was based morally and largely in Christianity, is that you don't correct it by trying to convince the evil people to be good. That's missing the point. Mm. You correct it by changing the system to not reward those kind of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to deny that if everyone had a solid basic standard of living, that like things would be better, you know, like crime would probably be lower, or certainly a lot of types of crime would be lower, people would be happier. That, I mean, that's a very, you know, the material conditions made comfortable for everyone improved society as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, sure. But I also think that there are some people, and also, you know, we're a victim of like circumstance and conditions. So like, you know, people with different upbringings are going to have different, you know, and so it's not just material condition.
It's not this. Marx isn't saying that way of reading it is wrong per se. It's that way of reading it is not useful. It's not to say that there are cruel people. Of course, there's always going to be cruel people, and yeah, they're going to do better in those kind of structures. But that's not how you thinking of it that way leads towards let's try and convince them to point out that they're being bad, and they'll see the error of their ways and become good. That's not how it works. They have material. They're doing it for a reason.
Yes, but also guillotine.
And also guillotine, yeah, that's part of it.
Well, you know, that's I play the guillotine card, please. Like, yes. Luigi Mangione did nothing wrong.
Well, that's part of that. Yeah, you don't try and convince them to be good. You guillotine them or shoot them in the back as they're coming out of a hotel.
Oh, my God. You know what, though? Put them on an island and turn it into a reality TV show. I would watch that.
I think you should.
All of the billionaires. Yeah. All of the billionaires, you just kidnap them.
No. Even better. Put them all on an island. Give some of them far more resources than others of them.
That's good.
Don't give them. Put the resources on the island and see how.
Arbitrarily give some of them loads of resources, and then the others no resources.
And yeah, fuck with them in general, just for the rest of their life.
See if that changes their view of whether the society is.
Well, that's. I had a thing about this where I thought, like, I was thinking something similar that anyone who wanted to be an MP. Should have to like live a certain way for an appreciable amount of time, not like for a week. You know, because you get these MPs. Anyone could live for a week on 60 quid or whatever it was at the time, and it's like, yeah, anybody could. But you know, you've already got all the clothes you need. You've already got all. You know, they miss the point completely that if you've got to live from week to week on that £60, it's very fucking hard to keep yourself clothed, fed. Warm,
I mean, they did actually do that reality TV show where they sent Portillo to like a working class mum who a single mum with several children who was working like two cleaning jobs and made him live with her for a while, or at least and he did, whether it was performative for the cameras or not, it did seem to genuinely change his outlook.
I reckon an MP salary should be based on maybe either the median wage or the minimum wage or the living wage, and they shouldn't be able to claim breakfast on expenses. If we can't claim breakfast on expenses, they shouldn't claim.
Yeah,
breakfast.
They shouldn't be able to.
I was reading something recently. It's you'll enjoy it, Chris, because it's about Taiwan, and they were saying that in Taiwan, politicians are paid very, very well. They're paid in the upper sort of upper end of salaries, but corruption is punished incredibly harshly, whereas comparatively over here, MPs are paid, compared to that, quite poorly. But corruption is tolerated. It's essentially either in politics you can have high wages and no corruption, or lower wages and tons of corruption.
I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine if we actually had a solid way of dealing with corruption. Death penalty.
Yeah.
You're threatening democracy. You're threatening democracy if you are corrupt. Death penalty, or exile.
I'm fundamentally against the death penalty.
Drowning.
drowning
in a public square.
Blimey. Is that a pitchfork and a flaming torch?
If you sink, you were corrupt. If you float, you weren't corrupt.
Death by fire, the purest death.
Anyway.
That's a deterrent.
I don't know.
I see. The thing is, do you know?
It'd be a deterrent
death
from anybody being an MP. I think, you know, just in case.
Okay, so this is
the problem. It wouldn't work because it's not. You know,
Well, the MPs would never vote it through. Death by fire.
Yeah, but hopefully not.
How about rather than killing them and whatnot, at the end of your term in Parliament, every 4 years at the end when there's a general election or whatever, you are put in a room. With 100 of your candidates, what are they called?
Constituents.
Yeah. With a bunch of weapons and stuff. and like the doors are closed, no cameras, nobody can talk about what happens in there. You just get half an hour in there, and then you get to come out if still alive.
They wouldn't, maybe. But that would never get that would never get past though, because people like Rhys Mogg and, you know, what's his name?
He'd be well dead.
The wee weasel face guy. I mean, yeah, they'd be killed instantly, you know.
Yeah, and also it doesn't address the problem of the consultants.
Well, I am blanket against the death penalty without exception, but political consultants and all that, exactly. Like, just fucking throw them in the fucking sea.
Yeah, we're not talking about the death penalty, we're talking about the gulag.
No, you know, in this like case, it's... fuck it, they're literally corrosive.
Gulag is sea, is the sea.
Yeah. Gulag is at the bottom of the sea, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, the thing about the death penalty, and by the way, just like officially, I'm against the death penalty.
Yes.
You know...
We're being
a little bit silly, but also, you know, but what is that, like, you know, there's all these problems with the lethal injection over in America. And it's crazy to me, like, and so one of the states, I think, brought back firing squad.
Oh, Jesus.
Which,
yeah, okay.
Sounds barbaric,
but it's better than lethal.
Having heard some of the horror stories. Yeah, the thing. Yeah. It is barbaric, therefore...
And it's just revenge. It's not even... I mean,
yeah, it's just revenge.
It's not a deterrent. The people that... Most of the people in America that are on death row are...
I assume we'd all agree, like, the state shouldn't be about punishment. We shouldn't... Like, obviously, families of victims and so on, they want the criminal to be punished, but that's kind of why we have a state, to mollify things like that. Like, the state has no business punishing. It should protect society from people who are dangerous, and it should rehabilitate people, and there should be no aspect of punishment to it.
And if punishment is required, I think financial punishment should be enough. Right, I don't know how that would necessarily.
Well, the problem with fines
then
for crimes
people,
is that
it's
legal. It's legal for
the rich. It's more compensation rather than punishment. Right, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, like I don't know. It's certainly better than putting people in cages, right? I totally choose the firing squad over the lethal injection, or even the electric chair. The electric chair is just like some sort of madman's contraption.
There's been so many studies about, you know, well-meaning liberals going, but this is cruel and causes so much pain. There's this way of doing it, which is provably way better, and misunderstanding that, like, they want the cruelty. The cruelty is part of the fucking...
Yeah, that's why they want the people that want the death penalty want to be cruel.
Because
to be fair, guillotine is actually seems... if it goes in one swoop...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But apparently, it doesn't always go in one swoop. Sometimes you have to give it a couple of goes, and that's
these days. I'm sure you could build something more effective.
Like hydraulic.
Yeah, something.
Just put their head in a hydraulic press. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. No, have you seen the hydraulic press channel would take on a whole new
just
tone, wouldn't
people
it?
In the front row just get splattered. Like,
yes. Let's.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like 10 seconds, and then it'd be all over for good.
Yeah, but
I forgot that hydraulic presses are slow. Yeah. That wouldn't be good. I realize now. Yeah.
Anyway, we're not killing anybody.
No,
you can go
currently.
Bang. You're gonna get rid of bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it wouldn't the head. You know, the machine would have to be. I'm not going to get into this because it's going to give you far too many. It's like people watch the Saw films, and I'm watching them from an engineering point of view. You go, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that quick. It's not going to happen. You know.
What about firing squad then, like a big 50 cal, three 50 cal rounds, just boom.
Blow, and then an blow open parts casket of their what's body left. Away, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Can we possibly talk about The Expanse?
Oh, we could. Yeah, that's an idea. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think why we got to the death penalty, but it was Marco, he's got a really weird name.
Muttry.
Can I talk about that kangaroo court thing scene? Just something very specific. Towards the end of it, when Kamina, so there's three faction members, and he talks two of them around. So two of them vote keep him alive. One of them votes kill him. Ashford votes kill him, and then Drummer votes keep him alive. And Ashford looks at her like, what the fuck are you doing? And they have a conversation later, and Ashford's like, oh, he talked you around, did he? Like, you know, a bit like accusatory. And she explains why she did it, And it's perfectly reasonable. She makes a good case. Mm. And Ashford is like, fair enough. That's, you make a good, you know, I don't mean he literally says that, but that's his reaction.
Yeah, basically, like, caused the Civil like War. That's what he says.
Yeah, and I like that in a TV show. I like just showing somebody being won over by a reasonable argument and not making everything always about conflict. But I also, think that's a healthy, I mean, that's a healthy thing to show.
Is Ashford even won over? He might just be like, I don't agree, but I respect your.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's view. What I mean by won over. Like, just like that's reasonable. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I think both are reasonable. Like, I don't know where I would go. Up, down, I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard because it's like, yeah, stopping a civil war in the belt is, you know, but then again, should, like, see, this is the benefit of a kangaroo court, right? Because the thing is like, the consequences of someone's conviction, should that weigh into whether or not, should their punishment or conviction... Because, like, stopping a civil war in the APA, that's a legitimate...
I feel that's legitimate, even though it gives him unfair, unjust
privilege.
That's a version of justice that isn't blind.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is interesting, yeah.
I don't know, because to me, like, results matter, right?
So you could be like, yes, this dude's done a couple of murders, but he's a really good painter. And if we kill him, we're going to lose these paintings.
Well, you can paint in prison. That's, you know, that's your win-win.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that's missing from this, right up till there, was there is a third option, of course, rather than killing him or letting him go, is imprisoning him in some way,
I think that's interesting. I think that Belters would find imprisonment abhorrent.
Yeah.
Like, the death penalty, I think they would see as more... humane than imprisonment, perhaps. Yeah, because they value their freedom so obsessively. Yep. Or that kind of freedom, that liberal conception of freedom.
Yeah. I don't know. Feedback, what would you do? Would you let him go?
Just give us a thumbs up emoji or a thumbs down emoji?
And you have to do it before any consequences. And we're not going to clarify. You have to do it this episode. We don't want any of this said. No teleological answers or...
Honestly, I'm just going to... This is a bit spoilery, Chris, so if you don't want... Teleologically, this is my vote.
Should have killed him.
No,
you shouldn't have killed him.
Teleologically, emotionally, imagine myself in that world, in the scene, right in the moment, kill him. But teleologically, keep him alive.
Oh,
I feel this.
I
is
disagree.
Weird because I
actually
reckon...
go the other way in that. I think at the time, I would let him go. But knowing what we know, so that's that's good.
We'll get to that later.
Chris's face. Look at him. He's like, oh my god. Well, I can now say, obviously don't read anything, but now if you happen to see any posters for the, you know, for the Expanse or anything on websites or anything, you now know the last major character that's been added, you know, because he's been talked about a lot, but he's actually finally turned up. And obviously he's got a huge connection to now.
The guy...
Marco Inaros, yeah. So, Marcaros? Marco Inaros.
Marco Inaros.
Yeah, he's the one.
I like him a little bit.
Well, he's very charismatic. That's the point. I mean, that's what all of them say before you even see him. Is like, he is extremely charismatic. Like, and the actor,
aesthetically,
again, casting, brilliant.
Aesthetically, he's got a bit of the Chris to him. He's got the long haired kind of, you know,
nose.
Like, you know,
the nose. He's got
the
it's the long.
Nose.
He's not
it's
as
long
Peely
nose,
Wally
yeah.
though as Chris, is he? Not Peely Wally.
No.
Pale.
Peely Wally. Pale. Oh.
Peely Wally.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know how much of it is the light and how much of it is me, but I'm definitely pale. I feel like my lighting is never quite as
I imagine I'm significantly paler than you, but I don't look it in this lighting versus your lighting.
Yeah, well, I don't...
What's going on with the search engine?
Who knows? But, because I insist dogmatically on not using proper lights. Like, I have just
lamps
around.
We're not going to use YouTube lights, no.
No, I don't... I can't... I don't want to do it.
Hamish.
Like, I mean, I will say... Oh, that's... No, that's not... That's just like a standing lamp. But... If I move, or when I move to a place where I can set up the studio, there will be proper lights in it, because it's better for working as well.
But will you have that circular reflection?
Oh,
the one I hate is... I'm watching YouTube, And there's somebody with glasses, and they have that circular light reflection in their glasses, and
no,
I go like,
"No, those are fucking annoying,
fucking,
yeah.
fucking YouTube."
And most, also means it all stuck to the cameras and stuff.
Yeah, it creates a very flat. The light is literally where the camera is, which creates a perfectly flat light, which is horrible.
It is.
I'm not one to talk about lighting, but. I know what looks good and what looks bad. I just don't care.
You're not flat litten.
Flat lit. I like it. Old English is probably correct.
I've actually got four lights on me at the moment, which is probably. But like Hamish is actually, I would say, the best lit.
It's just a standing lamp. That's all. There's nothing else on in here.
You both have good lighting. I wouldn't say one of you is better than the other. I think you both have nice lighting.
Oh, that's nice to know. Yeah, I've got four. But. I don't need four.
You have that very TV thing of like you can tell there's different coloured lights in different directions because your shadows have a colour to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yellow and orange and white.
Whereas I've gone for maximum chiaroscuro. That's an artwork.
Don't get that.
You arty prick.
It just means light shadow. it's like Caravaggio has, you know, your very, very light areas, very dark areas, very, very contrasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite like a bit of, I like a bit of excess contrast sometimes because it does feel more, I don't say like sharp, like, I don't know, real, sharper, unbland.
Yeah, it's more baroque. It's more emotional. It's more, yeah.
Yeah. Even more so than like real. Well, real life's difficult because in real life you can see a lot more colors than you can on RGB screens, right?
Some.
There's a gamut.
So it's a bit like, and Hamish will actually be able to correct me on this if I'm wrong, but like when you hear recordings of the sounds of rain, whilst it sounds like rain, it doesn't sound like. Rain, proper rain. Like,
yeah, you're not getting. Because it depends how the recording's made as well. If it's made with one microphone, it'll be enough to fool you. Even if it's spread over stereo, it'll still sort of sound. But if it's recorded with two mics, then that will be more effective. But really, you need more because the way our ears work aren't exactly the same as a microphone because. The back of our ears hears differently. You know, that's why tonal shifts and stuff, you know.
The one where it's most noticeable for me is orchestral music. Orchestral music. It can sound great in recordings, but orchestral music live is noticeably different.
Yeah, it's kind of like all around you sort of thing. Yeah.
It's
like, this is strange, and I'm going to sound like such a poncy dickhead for this, but like, it's like... It sort of comes into you like magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
and
you
it
don't
surrounds
just listen
you.
To it with, yeah, it surrounds you. Like it goes through your skin. Like I remember.
I mean,
one
I know
time...
they tend to often use speakers in orchestral music and stuff now, but it's still you're still getting the music from the actual.
Yeah, if you go to any concert, they are using more speakers.
It'll be amped up, but you're still getting some of the, especially in a smaller venue, you're getting some. Mm. But it, like if you go and see a rock show or an electronic music thing, you're just getting music from speakers really, which is. Mm. Identical to listening to a recording.
Yeah, not quite, but
I mean the acoustics are going to be different, but it's you know fundamentally the same.
Drums and stuff tend to carry through, and
acoustic instruments will carry through
and stuff. It depends. Yeah, there's more to it. Yeah. I'd sort of agree, but also there's quite an art to sound design and
Absolutely, you know. yeah. I've been to some live venues where the sound has been terrible.
Acoustic music, like, you know, folk, jazz, blues, not blues, folk, jazz, some jazz, classical, orchestral, whatever. I enjoy that. But when I've been to live music, rock, you know, rock, even bands I really like I don't enjoy it as an experience. It's just it's listening to music and being uncomfortable. And also not having something else to do while you're listening to music.
I like small venues. I saw the opening of the Swansea Arena where they had actually quite a lot of like Welsh local bands. And it wasn't too packed. I think it was like in between lockdowns or like towards the end of the lockdowns. So I was taking a bit of a risk by going there, to be honest. I was almost resigned to the fact that I could come away with this COVID, but it was a fun gig and I thought it'd be worth the risk. And It was like it like they, I'd never heard of any of the bands. They were not big names. They were, you know, just local bands that have had some small level of success. But they had like. They love being up there, like you know, they were having a great old time.
Yeah, I like things like that. Yeah,
that's a big difference to live performances. That is the energy.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But fundamentally, the idea of going to watch music is odd to me. Like, you know, it's like going. We're going to go and listen to some paintings. That's not what that medium is.
But you're not going to watch. Yeah, but you're going to listen to it live. It's different from watching.
Experience. But you listen to it without being there.
Yeah, but
you are watching a band doing the music, and the doing isn't the point with music. It's like watching. So you don't like theatre either, then?
You think theatre
is... Well, that's entirely because the doing is the point of theatre, whereas it's like going to watch somebody making a painting rather than look at the painting when it's done.
I would watch someone make a painting.
Mm. I'm not saying that's not interesting, I think, but as a thing we've institutionalized...
Your lack of interest in music has given you a weird perspective, I think.
For me, I much prefer small venues. Venues kind of get me on board. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know,
Like, I have no interest in going to a stadium concert, you know, or anything like that. If I got free tickets, but...
I mean,
like,
I mean, Fish is my favorite artist, solo singer. And his gigs, he'll do you know, big halls and stuff as well, but he does a lot of gigs in smaller places, and they're completely different from the bigger places, and completely different from just listening to it on a record. I think you need to do some live, you know, some different types of live music. I mean, rather than...
Well, no, I've agreed. Like, no, I agree. Small venues, local bands, small venues, folk bands and stuff, like acoustic music live is completely different. But big bands, it's more of a sort of philosophical thing about watching...
But we're interacting as well. There's an energy between the crowd,
and you're with other people,
and you're with
as
other
well.
People are enjoying it as well. Like Alan, my mum's partner, went to the Fish gig with me. He actually been to a couple of gigs with me, but he went to one of the Fish gigs, and he was like, he didn't know his music really. He knew a couple of the old Marillion songs. That was about it. And he was like just overwhelmed by the energy in the room.
Did you say Marillion?
Yeah. Fish.
Oh, I like Marillion, actually.
I love Marillion.
I don't know why.
My
mum had a car with a cassette player, and we had a Marillion cassette, and it's like that felt like the true way to listen to Marillion is on a degrading cassette tape.
But that's what I'm saying. Fish was the singer for Marillion for the first seven years. Anyway, the point is that even, you know, Alan was like enjoying being there as well, the actual experience of it as well.
I know the experience can be, but
it's not like sitting in a room watching a telly.
But then really you're just describing a party.
Yes, well, a bit of a party.
It's a party while you listen to music, which you can have without the musicians.
Yeah, the music's the thing that brings you together. It's the
you can have the music without
really
the music. That's the point.
You may
not have kept up with technology, but we can record music now.
Yeah, but we can.
And when it's music that's played through, when it's played through speakers anyway.
We can take a picture of something instead of making a painting of it.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. You take a picture of a painting.
Yeah, fucking is.
The equivalent there would be taking a picture of the painting and looking at the picture you took of the painting. And agree with that. That's exactly the same as looking at the painting. If it's a decent enough picture, there's no benefit to going to a gallery.
I like going to galleries. They're nice.
No, it can be an enjoyable experience, but it's an experience that is inherently linked.
You are a robot.
No, because like I say, like a live jazz performance, a live folk performance, a live orchestral performance, fucking love it.
You don't like electric instruments at all, then?
No, I like blues music, but if I'm listening to blues music, a recording is the same.
It's really not. But you're a fucking robot.
I mean, there's a lot of...
Anyway, how long have we been on? We've been on a long time and we've barely mentioned The Expanse. Which is fine, people enjoy that, but there is quite a lot of Expanse to talk about still. I was going to say that near the start, there's not that much happens in this episode. It's a lot of like cinematic bits and things, but now that we've got to this point, we are not really mentioning the show at all. So we've got Lucia, the medic from the Belter colony, admitting to...
She blew up the pad.
She was involved in some way in blowing up the pad, she says, yeah, yeah. She admits that to Naomi. And also she gets shot in the gut, which is not good.
No, but I'm mean, going to predict
the next episode. I think it's next episode. Hang on. I'm going to have a look and double check. But I'm going to predict that there's...
It's not really a prediction if you've got to look and double check, is it?
No, I was going to predict your reaction to something. Chris is going to really hate a chunk of either the next episode or the one after it. One of the two.
Oh.
It's not a huge part of the episode, but it's. I feel like there's something that is. Chris is not going to like.
Oh, I'm curious as to what you mean. If you could DM me what you mean, if it's not obvious, I'd be.
I'll DM you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't, because you're on this and I've got the screen up and recording it. I can't.
Tell me after.
I will.
Yeah. Is David the boy that Bobby is...
Bobby's like, nephew?
Bobby's nephew, that's the one.
What about him? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't like him anymore.
No, we never did. We've always hated him.
I like him even less.
Based on what? What did he do to...
Well, he pissed Bobby off, that's for sure. In this episode.
I don't know, I feel like this is a very selective, I'm going to stand up for Bobby when, like, now, but...
He was the one that caused all the trouble in the first place, basically.
Yeah, like, it's...
Well, that's
bit,
why she gets
like,
angry.
I'd be pissed off.
Yeah. That's what sets her off, really.
I think there was a lack of self-awareness in that.
Yes, the lack of self... Yeah. I really felt for Bobby in this one, but I'm glad that she came around.
You mean you're glad she agreed to work with... what's his name?
Stanley Tucci.
Martin.
Stanley Tucci. Yeah.
Martin.
Agree. For me, that was a happy moment where she's like, fuck it, if I'm going to do this, I might as well do this.
Yeah, that feeling pays off, I think, as it goes on.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a good guy, because, like, let's be honest, how many weapons dealers are actually good guys?
Yeah.
You know, I've read books. Not many.
I've read books.
I've read books.
Aren't you fancy?
Yeah. Actually, interestingly, a film that I saw when it came out, so I was quite young, about 14... I think it was. Lord of War with Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
I kind of liked that at the time. I don't know how well it's aged.
I think it's a decent film. I've not watched it for years, but I remember it as being a decent film, yeah.
It's certainly, like, in terms of how it feels, it was of its day.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the
feeling of it, but the story is timeless for the last 50, 60 years.
Oh, have I lost you both?
No.
No. Or has he?
Yeah, well, he might have lost us, but we've not lost him.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hang on, I'm back.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome back.
You were still there for us.
Okay.
Yeah, you were still there the whole time.
Yeah. When you see the recording back, you're going to go...
is the internet just under attack these last few days?
Yeah, I think there's been things going on. Yeah, there's been big outages and stuff.
Wouldn't be amazed if China and
World War III started and US we've just been are too going, busy focusing on the expanse.
Going at each other, yeah.
Oh, come on. Trump was supposed to fix all this. Trump, you said day one. Day one.
It
is day two.
It's day three.
Oh, my. No, it's 22nd.
Mm-hmm. And he was in Oakland.
Oh, it is day three. Yeah. Starts. Sorry, I didn't count zero. It's like camouflage number. I don't count.
Yes, yeah.
Don't let you near any programming then.
Well, Lua. It'd be okay in Lua.
Does that always
it's
go
one,
from one?
It's one
it?
Based, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Does that go from one? Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, so, I think I'm quite good at CSS, but that is a dark art, isn't it, really?
It's markup languages are a bit strange all round, really.
Markup languages are horrible.
Mm. I like CSS.
I detest CSS.
I think CSS is wonderful.
Yeah, but you're a fucking art boy, so you think Flash and things
are
good.
You know. No, I don't.
I mean, I have mixed. I wish Flash was open source, but maybe that's nostalgia. Maybe
some
that's
good
nostalgia.
Things were made in Flash, but that's different from Flash being good as a platform.
Yeah.
It's like that's what annoys me about Java hanging around. Java is fucking off the normal.
Java was always horrible.
Yep,
It's middleware. It's middleware, isn't it? They kept Java alive. I think there's like tons of middleware. Really.
Anywho,
we have covered a range of disparate fucking shit on this. Okay, let's try and go for the next 20 minutes. Nothing but expense. Okay, go.
Okay,
that'd be nice.
All right.
That would mean we'd maybe finish it all within 2.5 hours or whatever. You know.
Oh my god. This is one of those episodes that just
we're only at an hour and 35 minutes
just...
so far. We're all right.
It's another it's another one of those setting things up episodes. So there's not as much.
There's not as much happened. But I mean, at the same time, we could have probably peppered it in a bit more. So Mercury basically threatens Lucia's husband and daughter after shooting her. And he's trying to get Naomi to give her up. I think he knows that he couldn't risk hurting Naomi.
See, in that situation, I think this is my fucking naivety and stupid. Like, I think I'm quite a stupid person because until Naomi pointed it out, I didn't read that as a threat. I thought he was just saying some facts.
Or like, oh, you want to get back to your husband and daughter? No, it's a veiled threat, definitely.
No, of course I understand that it is, but I was just like, yeah, that's true.
Oh, no, I interpreted that as a threat. That's
so in like, that situation, oh God, I would be unthreatenable, which is great, because I wouldn't read it and just seem like, oh, he seems to be a nice person, making some nice points. Yeah,
I'm kind of feel like the SpongeBob SquarePants Patrick ID card meme with... I'm going to murder your husband.
I'm not familiar with the...
Oh, never mind. I don't want to go too far off the expanse.
Yes, okay.
You're breaking the rules.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Here's a little bit of confusion for me.
Mm-hmm.
While this scene with the threat and everything's happening, and she's already been shot and what have you, you know, there's a bit of distraction, which I'll get back to because that's the thing I've got to talk about. And then Holden and Alex arrive, rescue them and everything, basically. However, the distraction part is that Naomi gets remote control of the Rossi's guns. But it seems like she's firing single shots. And I didn't know
I
the
think
PDC
that's intentional.
Could do that. Yeah, but I don't know if the PDC could do that.
I imagine it's just... This might be naive, but I imagine it, like you just hold down for continuous fire and just like pop, 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 you know.
But it seems like she was...
Yeah,
I mean, or maybe she just selected the fire mode.
Yeah, there maybe is.
I mean, the reason for it is she doesn't want to, if that was on continuous
level the entire terrain,
And was she? So she was doing that more as a protect covering fire.
It was cover fire, yeah. Yeah, she wasn't expecting to be able to hit Mercury directly. But what I'm confused about with that is it's just the caliber and all that. Because we talked about this the other day, didn't we? One of the episodes.
I think you said the caliber.
I mentioned the caliber, and it seemed a bit strange to me.
I think it was like 40 millimeters or something, wasn't it? That's bigger than that, isn't it? It's like, what's that about that?
4 centimeters. Hang on, I'm trying to find Ross and Auntie somewhere so I can click on it.
It's a good girth.
Let's just open another thing and see what I can get.
And I mean, they are fighting. Those rounds off are shooting at spaceships, which presumably have quite some plating, quite some armor. Like, it's understandable that they would be that high caliber.
Yeah. Does the girth of them reflect how much gunpowder's behind them, or
you'd need to have the same speed. Yeah, you'd need more gunpowder to get something heavier to the same speed.
But can bullets be quite long?
Look at tank shells or
tank shells.
You've got to recognize the difference between a round or a shell, a round, and then the bullet. The bullet part is the small bit, and a lot of things.
Which is French. It's derived from French for little ball. Ballette.
Oh,
40 millimeter point defense cannons. So. It's interesting. Known models.
It's a thick caliber.
Well, 4 centimeters.
Do you know what I think
Hang
is
on.
Kind of...
You know what it's time for?
Is that
tell
a rule?
About, tell us about the or days of the week.
It's a rule.
That's the diameter of it.
Yeah.
Can you hold that up against an object so that we can get an idea?
Like
my
your
watch.
Cock.
My watch any good to you?
Yeah, we know what a watch is, how big a watch is.
So, well, there's the watch on my wrist. And there's the watch. So it's about the girth of that watch.
About the diameter of that watch, yeah. So that's a...
Oh. That actually feels quite small.
That's what she's... No,
Chris bragging.
It's almost exactly 40. It's that almost easy. Exactly 40 millimetres, that.
I could not deep throat that.
I think I have no gag reflex. I think I could deep throat fucking
you'd
anything.
Be popular.
Yeah. No teeth and no gag reflex, so offers.
Oh, you'd survive well in prison then.
Yeah. Already had them knocked out. I'd suck dicks in prison, sure.
It's worse. There's worse ways. I always figure I'd be the librarian.
Because that's quite a powerful position, right?
Yeah, but you have to work up to, maybe chef, maybe work in the kitchen.
Hot work. I wouldn't like hot work.
I reckon I'd be quite good at smuggling stuff in. I reckon
you'd be the one who gets the things. Yeah.
Yeah, I could get the things.
They do get shanked a lot though, based on prison dramas that I've watched.
I thought they were more of the safe. I thought they were pretty safe.
Well, you're safe until somebody comes, like prison cell block H. You know, if somebody comes in who wants to usurp that position, then that's a war basically.
That is, that's turf, isn't it?
We've all watched prison. That's what we should do next, prison cell block 8.
Oh, God, no.
That was a great show. What are you talking about?
I've never seen it. People in the family watched it, and that was...
Very queer, very early, very, very queer, like very explicitly queer show.
I feel like I wouldn't want a bottom in prison.
No, I don't like the idea of bottoms
very well.
Don't like the idea of things going up arses in either direction, honestly. Nothing against those who do. Like, go for it, but it's never been attractive to me.
Yeah, but in the gay world, like, it's a tops market, which I always thought was quite unusual.
How do you mean?
Growing up, but like, well, there's so many more bottoms than tops, just in the general...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're a lot of, like, versatile people end up sort of defaulting to tops...
Well, this is why I'm not cut out for other. You know, I find men quite attractive in that, but I don't want to be top or bottom anally. I'm not an anal person. I'm an oral person.
I'd suck
all the dicks you give me.
I mean, I'm not much of an anal person generally, but it's a lot worse with women than men because, like, I don't know. Men can really sort of take a pound in a way that you sort of feel you have to be a bit gentler with a woman.
Are you saying women are delicate flowers that we've got to protect?
I think their arses are delicate flowers.
Are you a trad gay?
Trad gay. I think men get more out of it, so they tend to be more enthusiastic.
Because the prostate's up there, rather than.
I think, I mean, the women I've done it with have not particularly enjoyed it. Like, it's like, tried it out.
It doesn't seem I've never wanted to do it in either direction.
And if they're not enjoying it, I'm not enjoying it. It's just, I don't.
So 40mm PDCs.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, my God, did we last 20 minutes?
No, you're not even close. Fuck me. All right, okay, we're starting the timer. I'm going to actually start a timer. I'm starting a fucking timer.
It won't matter.
I didn't think it was me that would break it.
On my Linux free phone.
You have a Linux free phone?
In inverted commas, yes.
Don't start the timer yet. I want to ask about the Linux.
I haven't used a timer.
Yeah. So
o'clock. There we go.
Yeah, I was just all this was. Yes, it was apparently capable of single fire, semi-automatic fire. That was the answer. I just wanted to confirm. I wasn't sure. I was wanting to make sure that's what it looked like to you guys. Like single rounds were coming down.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
But the problem. Yeah. See, there's a thing there that there is an issue with that as well, though. And it's that there is not as many... The number of tracer rounds that are in real weapons compared to how many there are on film is quite different. Because they will put tracer rounds, like a tracer round will go in on a rapid fire weapon, they'll put a tracer round every so many shots so you can aim, you know, it helps your aim. So if it's a machine gun or something, it's, you know, something that's going to help you to home in your aim. But then what happens on things like this is there's a tracer round for every shot because it's single shots, and that wouldn't actually be... I mean, to be fair, it would...
That's films.
To be fair, in this case, it would still have the same effect because it's just a suppression thing. It's just hitting the ground and causing a bot, you know.
I've just realised something, though, and this may be a controversy, right? Mm-hmm. So the PDCs, they're miniguns, right? They're basically... The barrels rotate, so it's a different barrel for each shot. So, and the purpose of that is so that barrels don't overheat, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And these are for firing in space, where you're not going to radiate any heat. Well, you know, you're not going to lose... You're going to lose virtually no heat from...
If you watch them fire in close-up, they do show them heating up.
They would heat up, but they wouldn't lose that. The purpose of the rotating barrel is by the time it comes back around, it's lost its heat, right? That's not going to happen in space.
I don't know enough about weapons, really, to say 100%. Hang on, get back to PDC page on here. Turreted rotary autocannons, utilising a set of more or less than six barrels, PDCs are laid out in a ship's hull to cover most angles for point defence, blah, blah, blah. Clearance from the ship.
We essentially, we just don't have the materials to fire something with that much energy that fast without the barrel overheating. So that's what a minigun does. It fires incredibly rapidly by using a different barrel for each shot. And then it loses heat in between shots. But in space, you know, I mean, you're going to lose some heat.
Well, you might, very fucking they might have, they might have, there's ways of heat sinking things as well. Like the
maybe
casing,
something comes out and sprays casing, it, sprays no, it case, with a bit of water.
The case ejection might be forced.
I'll accept that. Yeah.
That's just a one idea. I mean, wavy fair. Hand space things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, actually, 40mm caseless armor piercing. So it's not the case ejection, but there is the brass ejection that happens anyway. Mm. You know,
maybe the bullet caseless
means that the bullet doesn't have a shell in it.
Yeah,
the actual round bullet.
Maybe they just put a bit of water at the bottom of the shell.
That's kind of strange, isn't it? Caseless, I guess, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, caseless just means it doesn't mean what it sounds like. You still get the blasting cap part is on a bullet anyway, on a round anyway. The bullet is the bit that's ejected from the front of the gun, and then the cap part, the wasted part, is then ejected from the gun, or in a revolver it sits there until you empty that, but you get the idea. Caseless just means, like, say the bullet's made of lead, which is pretty common, especially in the old days, then what they'd do is they would put an alloy coating on it. So that's why bullets are like, shiny and pointed, for example. Mm. Those ones those aren't caseless usually. That's the case that you see over the bullet.
That's just to change its flight dynamics.
I was just taking a pointed bullet as an example of how it's... I could look it up to get exactly the right thing.
Well, no, because Expanse only for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're drifting.
Yeah. So, what's next, Chris?
Avicerella Arla.
Avicerella Arla.
Avicerella, yeah.
She had an angry yell at Holden.
Yeah.
Where the fuck?
That was enjoyable. That was good. That was really, that I like was it. Good, Love yeah. it when Avicerella's being angry. She's great.
That's caseless.
Is that it?
What?
Is she just a bit angry? Just come on to be a bit angry.
She likes having information, and she's had no information, and she said that, you know, what is it that she's heard about something happening?
Oh, the machines are coming to life.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, hang on a minute, you're supposed to fucking tell me about this.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit of a faux pas on Holden's part, to be honest.
Right, limited cartridge case.
It seems right. Like, how fast does information get back to Earth?
They said 6 hours in a previous episode, I think.
From Ilos.
Yeah, because it's good to remember it's going. It's not going the entire distance from there to. It's going.
Yeah, there's a relay just outside. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I find that quite interesting. We didn't talk about it at the time, but they just get basically a double antenna and just have it halfway through the gate.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the Belters. The Belters, again, the Belters are responsible for that. They set up their communication channels, which is cool.
Yeah. It's a bit like just running a cable through there, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. Cat 5 cable through the gate. If you can do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm surprised. I'm going to skip that. We weren't 100% right, but we're close. Let's not...
Good enough.
I'm still going to count that.
What?
The bullet talks, that still counts as the expansion.
That still counts, yeah. That was about
that's why I didn't want to get too much into the rabbit hole of it. It's basically the case is the bit that holds all of the bullet parts and the explosives and stuff together. And then the bit at the back has the propellant explosive part. Because some bullets have, you know... Like, to puncture armor, for example, the bullet itself also explodes. Whereas, like, a simple lead bullet would just fly at something, you know, and splat on it. That's why bullets get deformed when they hit targets and stuff. Anyway, let's not get... Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of smarter people out there, you know, who know...
Yeah,
we're comment, British. Email. We don't know guns. We only know guns from video games.
Yeah, that's true. And space films.
I didn't dislike Alex in this episode.
No, I don't mind him. I don't mind him in this one.
He's. I think the hat suits him. To be honest, I think he kind of looks good with the hat.
I think he does. Yeah,
and he's also a bit. He has to sort of. Yeah, he has to make the confession to Holden that Naomi's just not taking to the medication. You know,
that,
and that's what makes because that's what makes them go out and get her as they realize. Yeah, that, you know.
But I'm happy to come across disagreement on this that he chose probably the right time to break the silence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I agree.
Because
if I get that Naomi would want to be discreet about it and respecting that's kind of okay, but when it starts, becoming serious harm, I think that's when maybe.
And I like that. I like for once Holden wasn't a dick about it. He didn't flare up at Alex for not telling him, and he didn't flare up at Naomi for keeping it from him.
Yeah, yeah.
He understood. He for once
he thought about he's it. Not good at this. And took it.
He
in,
understood. Yeah.
So also that buggy looks fun to drive on that place. I quite enjoyed that. I went on a quad bike in afternoon once, and it was actually really fun.
Quad bikes are fucking terrifying, though.
They can be, yeah.
If you turn, because it's so easy to tip over, and if you do tip it over, that can be very bad.
Ooh,
yeah, like a dirt bike falling over, you just sort of fall off it, whereas a quad bike's going to land on you.
How's that timer going? Another important point, which we've completely missed the damn thing. One of the things that's happens during Marco talking to Ashford is he mentions something about Mars, and Ashford says twice to him, "What about Mars?" And then he goes, "Oh, well, I'll tell you that next time I see you." Then, you know, when he says it the second time.
I really wanted to know that.
But well, also in that moment,
aren't we getting a clue? Connect.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's the guy. He's the guy getting the weapons from Mars.
This is why I have different views from Drew about future things. I mean, we can. You don't need to be a genius to, you know, once you connect those two things.
I connected it before, but by the way, just to be clear.
Oh, well done.
I didn't notice him that
was getting them specifically, did you?
In that moment, in that moment, it's played like Ashford and Drummer are playing in Aras, right? And I don't quite understand how that playing was supposed to have been. Because when Drummer comes back in, Ashford goes, he didn't bite.
He didn't bite, yeah.
And what was he supposed to bite? I don't really understand.
I think he was supposed to offer something to Ashford. I think he was supposed to try and give Ashford some more information or another, you know, we're going to do this or I want to cut you in on this deal. Because, you know, all he offers him Mars is money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he mentions Mars, and then I think he realized then that perhaps Ashford wasn't, you know, actually, he was still interrogating him. He wasn't just chatting to him. It was going the other way, you know. Yeah. It tipped the other way from what from what Marco thought it was.
And I did breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief, I guess, when Kamina said, "We were never going to turn you over to the inners." Partly because it's like, well, yeah, because that would obviously cause an incident. Like, it's such a bad look.
And also, like, why would you? You're your own authority. You are an equal government, you know, or at least you're trying to be an equal government.
But that's not the impression they give them at the start. They give the impression they've caught the pirate who's attacking their ships and send them back for justice or whatever. But that's not what they do. But there's two other things to note in this conversation as well. Well, actually, one of them I'm not going to mention because it would draw attention to it. You've heard information that you'll go, oh, later for. But the other thing is... here we go. So Ashford tells Marco that they can't do certain things because they don't have the resources and the ships and things, ships and weapons. And Marco hints that's not entirely true, mentions something regarding Mars, but then realises that the crew have been gone for a long time. And the whole thing was staged. That's the point. That point when he says they've been gone before, that's when he realizes that they've left him. Yeah. You know, trying to talk. And then even then, though, Ashford's like, "Well, what was that about Mars?" And he's like, "Oh, I'll tell you next time." You know. And also,
do you think though,
it's pretty cool that they had the other ships in waiting? You know, because he also knowing that Marco's there. Ashford says to Drummer, "One-on-one, no, the best thing to do is run." You know, and then they lead that ship to an ambush. Yeah.
That was clever. Yeah, that was clever. I like
very
that.
Very well done. You know, so they're not out there alone.
But do you think, so we were like you were saying, there's ramifications to killing him, there's ramifications to give him over. But, so Drummer messaged the UN or whoever she was messaging and saying, it's been handled, essentially.
Yeah,
but didn't mention that it's been handled by releasing him again. After he's kind of implied, he's implied that he's got weapons that he's implied that he's going to use them against the Inners, and they've released him again. Like, okay, so she's concerned about civil war within the OPA, but their relationship with the Inners is actually quite delicate at the moment. Does that seem like a good idea?
In terms of their relationship,
we've got a lot of outside information as viewers. Yeah. We've got
I mean, who are the weapons going to be used against? Right,
the Inners. I think it was implied the Inners.
He's talking about raiding all the ships that are stuffed to the tits with good stuff, as he puts it. Soil and machinery and equipment. And stuff.
I mean, because Kamina and Ashford, they're going to be very reluctant to fire on fellow OPA belters or anything like that. Is the acquisition of weapons more of a power? You have them just because they give you legitimacy as an authority.
Well, I think. If you paid attention to anything that Marco Inaros was saying or doing, I think you'd see that he's a fanatic.
So
he's not.
He is a fanatic, but like, can he be is the plan to like temper him?
Well, that's what he offers in the end. That's what he offers in the end. I'll sit in my hands like a good little boy and blah blah blah.
Yeah, get him on side almost.
Yeah,
yeah. The
other thing before we finish with Marco stuff is he also says. So Drummer talks about the past with, and he has that little sort of less guarded conversation about talking about revolution and all that sort of thing. So that's her story, that's her side of it, blah blah blah. But she also later in that conversation, Drummer says, "What did you do with Philip?" Which is their son, and he says quite sincerely, apparently he did the best he could, which is quite an interesting answer because that wasn't what she was asking. She was asking, "Where is he? What's happened to him?" She wasn't saying, "What have you done? What have you done with him?" And he says, "The best I could."
Do you read Marco as when he's talking about like we could use these, the soil and the blah blah blah, and we should be expanding through the rings and like that is his goal? Do you read that as sincere?
Yes.
Like, is he sincerely a freedom fighter, or is he more just somebody who likes the violence and is using it as an excuse? Just out of interest.
Because, they'd put that forward to him. Like, if they kill him, his people will destroy...
Oh, is he the military of the belt?
He makes threats to be setting up terrorist attacks throughout the Inners and belt, you know? So,
my instinct is to always see the best in people, which can often be a flaw.
Well, the reason I'm asking, like, I've seen the whole thing, obviously, and I sort of know the show's answer to that, but still, personally, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether he's sincere or not. Like, I still see sincerity in there, for sure.
Yeah, like I say, there's a lot of moments where I think he's, you know, I believe he's completely sincere when he says the thing about Philip, when he says, yeah, he did the best he could.
Oh, yeah.
That seems, but you know, well, you know. I mean, we do know that he's
righteous
stolen,
anger can be
stolen his son from Naomi. So, you know.
Yeah,
righteous anger can warp a lot of things, and you know, like you know, and also can be like addictive to some people, you know, and you know, they can seek you know, fights and then justify them with their belief system.
Well, Murtry.
Yeah, well,
he's making excuses. It's almost like he's justifying it to himself. Like that thing where he says in the couple of episodes back, where he says that was a threat.
I mean, there's aspects of that. I mean, Peaches has that. Avasarala, you can see in her. Yeah. You know, like there's lots of characters where that creeps in. So yeah, I think that's.
I mean, it's a very human thing to do, especially you know, when you've done something wrong, you sort of try and hang on a minute. I wasn't. Yeah. I'm a good person. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You try to tell yourself a different story when you fucked up, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you're not just saying it for everybody else, you're saying it for you as well, you know, you're putting it to yourself.
Absolutely. Well, in our
own all over the place way, we kind of got there. Well, there's one we missed out. This is why I'm not saying we should do the whole thing, the whole episode chronologically. I know you guys made fun of me for that, but what I'm saying is that the story strands should be chronological, because we completely missed out a bit in the middle where Bobby's drunk, arrested for grand larceny. Mm-hmm. And sent to jail, and she then contacts Martin as her one phone call or whatever.
But I mean, that was engineered by Martin, right?
Yeah. I mean, who was
in order to convince her?
I think it's a kind of a he had to move the pieces somehow. And
yeah, but I mean, her arrest. I think he's engineered her arrest to bring him over, to bring her over to his side. I don't think she just happened to be arrested.
No, I think he's involved in it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that there was two or three. He had a couple of pieces that he could move. He had his own group, his own gang that he's already got going. He's also got his policeman. He's got the police powers. Mm. He's got the surveillance powers, and he's also then got two more pieces in play here. He's got Bobby, and he now has the stock manager guy in play as well. So he could have gone after different people. He could have given up somebody from his gang, which is probably not what he's going to do. But yeah, he then needed to put it on somebody's shoulders, and then Bobby was the.
He understands how glorious she is.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, you want Bobby on your side. She's excellent, even if it's just muscle.
Yeah, she's more than that. But if you just want muscle, she can do that for sure. But it did. I like the conversation in the bot when she was getting drunk with the other ex-military dude. Before that, I can't remember which one of them says it, but I think it's her. I think she says, "But does Mars feel different to you? Like she's becoming aware that."
Yeah. No, does this place seem different to you? And he goes, "Well, I think they moved some furnishing, they've rotated the drinks around or whatever." You know?
But I think that's an interesting. If she's seeing it, because she is very, I don't want to say indoctrinated, but she's very committed to the cause of Mars. Mm-hmm. You know, we back at the beginning, you know, see her looking at pictures of the Marina Valley once it's been terraformed. And she's, if anybody can be convinced that Mars is, you know, a great blah, 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 and be propagandized, it's her. And she's starting to see the cracks. And if she's starting to see the cracks, then something's seriously fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Right, we're over 2 hours now, so...
We've done 20 minutes. We've done it.
Hey!
I don't think we did. In between, there was
no,
a
we
few,
did.
There was a few shakes.
But that's enough. There's tangents that connect enough, I think, and then there's... Well, mm-hmm. We've gone off, you know. The bullet stuff was fine, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was sort of, yeah.
Mm. Oh, she also throws... is it Gao under the bus?
Who does?
Who does?
Avicerella when she does the interview.
Well, she...
And she
I mean, she's already been...
She the American people.
Yeah, I mean, that's already out. Yeah. She's spinning it.
That's spin, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I thought I mean, that was she literally very did, mean.
She literally did a Hillary Clinton, basically.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you, like, it was... You know the pictures of Obama in Taliban robes? It was Hillary's campaign that put that out. It wasn't that wasn't Trump. That was Hillary's campaign that put that out, and then Hillary was like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't it."
Yeah. Ridiculously silly stuff. Right.
Yeah. But it felt like that.
Do you have anything else to say about the show, Drew?
It's good.
This episode in particular. I mean,
it's pretty good.
Christopher, better than the last one. The last one wasn't bad. It was just, you know.
See, I prefer the last one. You really didn't like the last one, did you? And I prefer the last one to what came before, and also this one. This one's good, but
I'm enjoying them all. I mean, I like them as part of the bigger story anyway. I don't mind.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's that I didn't like it as much as the others.
I will say of this, I've said already, you know, the season isn't my favorite, but within this season, I'm far more invested in Bobby's story than an Illis.
At the moment, yes. Mm. To be honest, I don't like Westerns.
Certain types of Western. I don't like the old school John Wayne bollocks, you know.
No.
And the racist stuff, the revisionist stuff. Mm. I don't like all of that, obviously.
But... Oh, no, I love the racism.
But the, you know, the sort of... The more, you know, spaghetti western stuff and things is much more.
Yeah,
it's more realistic, if you know what I mean. It's, you know, it's still.
I do enjoy that stuff, but I have a small appetite for it. Like maybe like a couple of year at most.
Yeah,
kind of thing,
I'll go with that. Yeah.
I don't mind the setting. The setting of the Wild West is great, but like I just don't like westerns as films.
Is it the tropes, the way they feel, and the
tropes? They don't feel very exciting.
As a very specific until very recently, a very specific idea about masculinity and how men.
Wrong with the older ones. Is a sort of masculine thing.
Yeah.
But there's some remakes.
I mean, I like
that
Back to the Future 3.
Sorry, what was?
Back to the Future 3.
is that your favourite Western?
Or
we've got Wild West. Yeah.
Tremors.
I haven't seen Wild
Back to Perfection. No.
Tremors.
Tremors.
The first
the
Tremors
one.
Film. First Tremors film was excellent.
It is, yeah. But there's another one of them is a Western though. One of them set in the 19th century.
That recent one, Cowboys versus Aliens, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, that was weird.
A ridiculous amount of very famous people in it, yeah.
Oh, there was one with Mel Gibson that I thought was okay.
Well, the remake of the 3:10 to Yuma was quite good. It was, you know, because that was quite a good one to start with. I was a bit wary of it, but the remake was all right, yeah.
Is it Maverick? Is that the film?
Oh, Maverick was Mel Gibson. Yeah. That was quite good. A comedy western, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, comedy western. Yeah, like
I
like
that one. That's true.
Comedy.
I did like that. Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about comedy westerns, Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Of
oh, Blazing Saddles.
I don't think Blazing Saddles is as good as when you go back and watch it. Even
really? No, I
take,
no, I went back and watched it.
Take away the uncomfortable. Even the uncomfortable stuff isn't enough to, you know, if you take that away from it, even it's still. I still don't think it's that good a film. It's, you know.
I think it's very good,
don't
but
tell,
I think the
don't
most.
Don't tell Ozone, but I think that Mel Brooks is a bit overrated.
Oh
yes, he is overrated.
Ooh,
it wasn't Mel Brooks that made the film.
No, I disagree. Producers and Blazing Saddles are amazing. I will say though, Blazing Saddles, the most famous scene is the least funny scene in the entire film.
The farting thing.
The farting thing.
Yeah,
that is not. The
yeah,
fun,
you don't like
funny.
Farting humor, do you?
I don't like farting humor. No.
I don't mind a fart.
That's what
joke,
that's you. That's
yeah.
what you took the exception. Well, not exception, but you weren't so fond of my last thumbnail.
Yeah.
Whereas I quite enjoyed that last thumbnail.
I enjoyed it still, but I can laugh at a fart. Like